A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and we talked about how as soon as they gave the loaves and the fish to the Lord, He began to multiply them. Do you remember? Just a few weeks ago, we talked about how it miraculously began to change the situation. Suddenly there was an abundance. There was an overflow. Well, in John chapter 6, where we beginning in verse 16, it tells us that Jesus actually, after this feeding of the 5,000, Jesus actually told His disciples to get in the boat and go across the lake. And when they did, they got out there and they started rowing, and the wind came up and the waters grew rough, and it says they couldn't get where they wanted to go because they got stuck in the wind. Well, if we go to Mark's gospel, we find an interesting thing about this. Jesus went up on a hill to pray, and He watched them the whole time. He saw them out there straining against the oars. He knew they were out on the lake. In fact, He told them to go out on the lake. Now, did Jesus know the storm was coming up? Sure He did. And yet He told them, "You guys get in the boat, head to Capernaum." But when they did, the water got rough and the seas grew just, you know, very, very difficult, almost impossible to navigate. These guys are out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and they're not getting anywhere. They're working against the oars. They're rowing against the wind. Nothing's happening. They're not going anywhere. Does that sound familiar sometimes with sometimes what's happening in our lives? Then what happens? Well, the Scripture tells us here in this passage that these guys suddenly see Jesus walking on the water toward the boat, and they absolutely freak. They're terrified because they think He's a spirit. And Jesus says to them, "It's okay, don't be afraid, it's just Me." And then it says, people, and this is vitally important that we see this, look with me in verse 21. It says in John 6:21, "Then they were willing to take Him into the boat." And then what happened? Immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. People, this is something that I've just really felt like the Lord had impressed upon my heart to share with you as an example of what I think the Lord wants to do in our lives. Here we are, people. We're out on the sea just like the disciples. And yes, we're here because the Lord told us to. Okay? Again, I don't know if that tweaks your theology, but it shouldn't. God will bid us to go out into an area that is difficult, dangerous, and troublesome. But that doesn't mean it isn't the Lord's direction. It doesn't mean it's not the Lord's will. Okay? Again, Christians, I want to encourage you, do not look at your circumstances, difficult though they may be, and say, "This can't be from God because it's hard." Because like I said, if that were true, then the Apostle Paul would have always been out of the will of God. Paul went through one horrible, hard thing after the next. But it was God. And you know, I'll tell you something. When I've gone through difficult things, and I've gone through a few, there's always a season in there where I feel like, what do I feel like? I feel like my guts are just in knots, and I'm fighting this thing, and I'm fighting, and I'm getting down on my knees, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the sense that I'm praying, but I'm praying, and I'm fighting, and I'm saying, you know, I'm doing this spiritual warfare, which, you know, there's a place for spiritual warfare. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, the Holy Spirit comes to me at a time like that, after I've fought and just been, you know, gritting my teeth and, you know, whatever, trying to fight my way through the thing, and the Lord will speak to me inevitably, and here's what He'll say to me. "This is Me. I'm in this. I've allowed this. I allowed the storm. I allowed the difficulty of the waves. I allowed the crashing nature of the wind upon your boat or your house or whatever. I'm in this. But I'm going to see you through it as well." Okay? And, you know, it's at that moment that I begin to get flooded with a most amazing peace, because I realize that I'm not by myself, I'm not alone, but that God is with me. He's been watching this whole thing. He knew it was even going to be the way it was, and He's walking me through it, and He understands the circumstances and the situation that I'm in. But then something else happens as I begin to open my heart. You know, it's like Jesus walking to the boat. And you know, we are so accustomed to doing things on our own, we get frightened sometimes by the supernatural element of how the Lord wants to come in and fill our lives. Here's the disciples rowing in this boat. You know, I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to make for shore, and they're just not getting there. They're out in the middle of the lake, and they're not. It's been hours, by the way. It's been hours, according to Mark's account of this event, that they've been out on the water and rowing and doing. And these guys are experienced fishermen. Okay, you got Peter and Andrew and John and James. These guys were raised in a boat. They even fished on this very body of water. They were not strangers to this. Plus, we also know that they often fished all night long. So this is not something totally weird. When Jesus told them to get in the boat and shove off, they weren't saying, well, it's dark. They went out, they did it all the time. So they're out there and you know, they're on the thing. But here they've just been on the other side of the shore. They've witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus, the multitude. They probably even have some of the bread and fish in the boat, for heaven's sakes. Because they picked up 12 basketfuls left over. They probably, you know, grabbed a little some and brought it in with them, and they're out there, you know, and they've just witnessed a miracle, and yet now they find themselves in a difficult circumstance, and what are they doing? Well, it's what we all do. It doesn't matter whether we've just gone through a miracle or not. I've got to fix this thing. And you can see Peter, you know, or James or John saying, here's what we got to do, guys. And they're up there and they're, you know, take the oar. You get over there. And that's it. Let's get the weight over on this side of the boat. And you know, I'm sure guys, some of the guys like Matthew, you know, he's a tax collector. He just didn't know what to do. Throw the money overboard. Something like that. But the rest of them are just absolutely, you know, fighting this thing. But they're not making it. They're not getting anywhere. And then suddenly Jesus shows up. Supernatural work. Supernatural thing. And what happens? They're freaked. They're terrified. Now what are we going to do? Well, then Jesus says something to them. He says, it's me. It's me. I'm here. I'm in this. I'm with you. And then it says, again, we looked at here in verse 21, I know we didn't read the passage all the way through, but it says there that then they were willing to take him into the boat. Okay? They were willing. Notice what that suggests is they weren't willing at first. Okay? Because they were scared. They were afraid. It was a difficult thing. They were not willing to bring him in initially. But then they said, okay, Lord, come on, get in the boat. And so he climbs into the boat. Now imagine this, people. You got to see this in your mind's eye. The wind and the waves, and the boat is moving around, and you know, this and that, and they haven't been able to make any progress on the lake. And suddenly Jesus steps in the boat. Boom, they are on the other side of the lake. It tells us here in this passage, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. It doesn't say, and so they rowed, you know, and got to the shore. It says immediately something happened, something changed. And the reason something changed, people, is because they let Jesus into the boat. See, this is kind of what the Lord's doing here over the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that if you will take your meager offering, your meager, well, whatever you have, your meager you, and give it to God, that's those barley loaves and two small fish, and put it into his hands, he'll multiply it and make it fruitful. In this passage here, we learn that even though we might have seen miracles in the past, when we find ourselves up against a difficult situation, we're going to naturally fight it in our own strength. But if you will recognize the Lord, and if you will invite him into the boat, whatever that boat may stand for in your life, he's going to begin to do things that you couldn't do in your own strength. What were they trying to do? They were trying to make for shore. Right? The wind and the waves come up. We got to get to shore to save our lives. We've got to get. But where are they getting? Nowhere. But as soon as Jesus got in the boat, they got somewhere. They got exactly where they needed to be. Oh, people, sometimes we're so afraid to let Jesus into our boat, to let him into that situation or that circumstance, whatever it may be. I don't know why, But sometimes we are. And this morning, what I want to encourage you to do today, whatever you're going through, whatever issue is happening in your life, whatever circumstance just has you kind of on the run, and you recognize the futility of your own actions, your own labors. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's children that are just heading straight to hell, and you see it. Or whatever the situation may be. And you've been working and working and working and laboring. And the Lord wants to get in your boat today. I just really have that strong sense that the Lord wants us to do what the disciples did. Be willing to let Him in to that situation. And let Him be Lord of that situation. And I think that's the important part about this passage. You know, there's something else that's kind of wonderful about Jesus walking on the water. It's kind of a symbolic statement about Jesus' ability to transcend the issues that get you and I so lathered up and so worried and so concerned. Did you notice that now what is it that's causing the disciples to have all these problems, the wind and the waves? What's Jesus doing? Is He struggling with the wind and the waves? He's walking on the waves. He's walking on the water. See, Jesus isn't struggling with those things. He's cruising right along, and it shows us there that there's this transcendence of the Lord related to your problems and my problems. And so we need to see that. We need to see that Jesus is not struggling here with these issues. Jesus isn't looking at your problem and going, "Oh man, what am I going to do with this one? You know, I was doing great till they came along. And that problem came up." Hey, I know we got a few chuckles here and there, but you know what? In our hearts, that's what's going on. We think that somehow we just, you know, stepped off the precipice of God's ability to help. And I just have to tumble and tumble on this one by myself. No. I don't care what your issue is. Jesus is walking on the water. He is not being deluged by your problem. He's staying right above it all the time. And so, Christians, here's the question that I want to ask here today. Are we willing to invite Him into the boat and let Him be Lord and let Him begin to do things in that you and I couldn't do in and of ourselves? Does that sound like a good deal to you? I mean, it sounds like an awfully good deal to me. So let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, you've had me exhort here today, kind of instead of teach, and it's different, Lord. It takes me out of my comfort zone, but I know that there's a lot of your children here today who have been long out of their comfort zone because they've been struggling against the wind and the waves of the issues and circumstances that they are enduring. And even though, Lord, we have seen miracles in the past, when the next problem comes up, our natural tendency is to work at it in our own strength and try to fix it. But Lord, we have seen the futility of our efforts. Just like the disciples in this story who weren't getting anywhere. We have tried, Lord, and we have tried, and nothing has happened. And yet, Lord God, we've heard your voice. You've said, "Be not afraid. It's me." And we behold you, Lord God, not in our problem, walking over the top of it, transcending it. You are not stuck or mired in our issues, Lord. And I believe you want to touch our lives in such a way as to lift us up too. And I don't know how you're going to do that exactly in different people's lives, but all I know is that we've got to give it to you. And so this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, as a body, as a family, together, we invite you to get into the boat. Come into this situation, whatever it may be, whatever these circumstances are. For many people, it's fear. Lord, we invite you into that thing that we are afraid of the most. We repent of our fear. And we ask you, Lord God, to be the strength of our lives. Lord, whether it's a marriage or home and family, finances, business, health, whatever it may be, Lord God, we invite you into it. Maybe we're watching someone else go through a difficult time. Lord, we invite you into that situation. We invite you into the boat. We invite you, Lord God, to do your work and to do what we have not been able to do in and of ourselves. We thank you, dear Father, for your word today. We thank you for John chapter 6. We thank you for the reminder of this word. And we ask that you would fill us with peace that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is in the boat with us today. God, continue to strengthen our hearts. Continue to fill us, Lord, with your purpose and plan, and show us the direction you have for our lives.